Today's shiur is Masechet Yevamos Daf Chaf. We will begin on Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis, the first wide line. Yosef Rab Menashe Bazvid Kameder Rav Huna. As we have been learning, the Torah tells us Eishes Achiv Shelahay Balamai, that if there was a brother who is a Yavam that did not live in the world the same time as his brother who passed away without children, the dinim of Yibam and Chalitzu do not apply to that brother. In the simplest form, the simplest case that could be explained, is that there was a person, Reuven, who died without children, and afterwards only his brother Shimon was born. There's a din of Eshes Achav Shalahi Balamai, Shimon will not do Yibam and Chalitza with Reuven's widow. On that halacha, there are no disagreements. But as we've been learning, there is a machlokes Rabbanan and Reb Shimon, how far to apply this concept of Eshes Achav Shalahi Balamai. Rabbanan have a very broad application. Rabbanan being Rameya, have a broad application. They say that under all circumstances, if a brother was only born after the first brother passed away without children, makes no difference what happened afterwards. That woman, that widow of Reuven, is labeled Eishes Achiv Shalahay Balamai and will remain forbidden forever to that newly born brother. Rav Shimon, as we've learned, says that there's a more limited application of Eishes Achiv Shalahay Balamai. And as we learned at the end of the previous year, Rav Papa taught us that Rav Shimon's leniency in Eishes Achiv Shalahay Balamai refers to a situation where Reuven passed away without children. His brother Shimon took Reuven's widow in Yibum, and then Levi was born. So when Levi came to the world, what he saw is that Shimon is married to this woman. The fact that previously she was married to a brother Reuven that he never knew and never lived in the world at the same time as him, says Rav Papa, Rav Shimon will say, that is not a situation of Eishes Achiv Shalahay Balamai. So as the Mefarshim explained, based on what we learned from Rav Papa, the Gemara now asks the following question. Yosra Benash Bazvit Kamed Rav Huna. For Yosra Kama, my Tamid Rav Shimon, why does Rav Shimon hold that if when Levi was born, Shimon was already married to Reuven's widow, and then if Shimon dies without children, Levi may do Yibam in this woman who was once Reuven's wife? My Tamid Rav Shimon, asked the Gemara, could Amar Tamid, as we've been explaining, Hoil Ubo Matzah Beheter. When Levi came to the world, he found this woman already married to Reuven, to Shimon, and therefore there's no reason that Levi should think and reflect on what might have happened previously. This woman, as far as Levi is concerned, was always Shimon's wife. And if now, if Shimon should die without children, she is a candidate. She's a woman that Levi, as Shimon's brother, must do Yibam or Chalitza with. The question the Gemara asks is, this Svara that was saying and explaining Rav Shimon's position, specifically after Rav Papa limitation of Rav Shimon's heter, is such a strong logic that the Gemara wants to know, my Tamid Rabbanon, why did Rabbanon disagree with this concept? Answers Rav Menashe, Omakra, V'lochalali Isha V'yivma. The Torah adds the words V'yivma to teach us Adayin Yibumim HaRishonim Aleha, that even though Reuven died and Shimon took his wife as a wife, but since she was brought into his home in the context of Yibam, she always retains that label as a Yavama, as the widow of Reuven. And if she's the widow of Reuven, Levi can't live with her because it's an Eishes Achiv Shalahayib Alamai. And as the Sefer Chosin Yeshuas explains, why doesn't Rav Shimon agree with the way the Rabbanon explained this pasuk? Because as we've learned, he says that Rav Shimon needs this pasuk to teach us that even though a tsaris erva, as we've been learning from the beginning of the Masechta, is not allowed to have yibam and chalitza, just like the erva may not have yibam and chalitza, that is only b'maka mitzvah, where a brother dies, and one of the wives is an erva. So the yibam tells us that so the halacha is that a tsara is also asr. Tells us the yivmat, according to Rav Shimon, that's only if it's b'makam mitzvah, b'makam yibam. Under other circumstances, if there's a person in the world married to two women, and he dies, and one wife is an erva to someone, and the other wife is not, that other person, who's not a brother, would be allowed to marry the tsaris erva. The Chachamim learned this from the pasuk of Litzroir, and that's why this word v'yivma is left open for them to teach us that a dayin yibumim harishonim aleha. Ask the Gemara, if we're saying that a dayin yibumim harishonim aleha, elhadatnan, this is what we're going to learn in the Mishnah, that kansa, if a yavam marries a yavama, harei ki ishtoi kilchaldova, she becomes the halach of user as his full-fledged wife. What does that mean? Amr b'yoyis b'chanina melamed shemagash beget. If a yavam takes a yavama as his wife, and then they want to dissolve the marriage is dissolved, terminated in the regular way marriages are dissolved, with a get. Similarly, umach zira, he may remarry her after he divorces, because she's his wife. Why don't we say, ask the Gemara, Hasanami Lame, why don't we apply the concept of the Yivma, Adayni Yivumim, Harishonim Aleha, that she still retains vestiges of being considered a Yivama, the Tibai Chalitza, and she should require Chalitza, because that's the way a relationship between a Yavam and a Yavam is terminated, through Chalitza, through a get, not through a get. So if we're learning now that the Rabbanan caller is still a Yavama, so Chalitza should be required. Or as the Rishonim say, why would he be allowed to take her back? A regular wife, if she doesn't get married to someone else, can be taken back after divorce, but not a Yavama. So the Rishonim ask, if this woman, according to Rabbanan, are still considered a Yavama, a dying Yavuma and Rishonim Aleha, why may a husband have Hayavam have relations with her past the first time? The first time, there's obviously a mitzvah, the mitzvah of Yibam. So if she becomes his wife, so we can understand, with a wife, a person has relations. But if we're saying that she's still a Yavama, so she's still an Eishes Ach, so how could he have relations with her past the first time when he's the first time he did a mitzvah? The other times should be prohibited. So Ramban says that that's exactly what the pasuk comes to teach us. The pasuk says v'lochala li'isha v'yivma. The pasuk is specifically telling us that he could treat her as a wife and not be limited to having relations with her only once. Another teretz given by the Rashba and the Ritva is that Manufshach, if we're going to consider her his wife, so a wife, there's no problem, there's no such a question, why could he continue having relations with her? If, on the other hand, we don't want to consider her as his wife, we want to consider her his Yavama, so if she's his Yavama, every time he's going to have relations with her, he's going to be Mekayim Mitzvah Sibam. And therefore, no matter how we look at it, relations is permitted with her every time. But then Reb David Pavarsky, Panovich Rosh Yeshiva, Sechrono Levracha, asks a different question. He asks, if the Gemara is saying, V'yivma, Adayin Yibum and Rishonim Aleha, that after a Yavam marries a Yavama, she's still considered the wife of the first husband, then he asks, let's analyze a regular situation. Three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Reuven dies without children, and Shimon takes Reuven's wife as a Yavama. Then Shimon passes away without children. So the halacha is that Levi now will have to marry this woman. But if we're saying, asks Rav Pavarsky, that a dying yibum harishonim aleha, the vestiges of our first yibum always remain, so this woman who now stands to Levi for yibum is coming as the yivam of two brothers. There are still vestiges of Reuven's marriage here, and she was also married to Shimon. We've learned Bayus Echer Hubainav Ein Bainishne Batim. We just learned in the previous year that if a woman carries the Zika of two brothers, she is not a candidate for Yibam. So why is any woman in such a circumstance allowed to have Yibam? So he answers, she's not considered the wife of two brothers. Why? Because once Yibam was accomplished by Shimon to her, she's no longer a candidate for Chalitza. Since she's no longer a candidate for Chalitza, you can't call a woman who's not a candidate for Chalitza from the first marriage as a woman who's carrying a Zika from that marriage. Then he says another pshat. He says, given the while she's married to Shimon, or even if Shimon were to divorce her, she would not be allowed to marry Levi, the other brothers, would be an Isser Eishes Ach. That is a proof that enough of the first marriage has been dissolved, is no longer here. Because if we were only looking at the first marriage, so then she should be mutter to the other brothers, because the Isser Eishes Ach falls away if a brother dies without children. And therefore, she's not considered married still to the first brother in any way. So now when Shimon dies, in the case that we gave, she's only coming from Shimon's home and not coming from two batim. So the question is, if we're calling her still Yibumim Arishonim Aleha, Chalitza should be required to terminate the marriage between the Yavam and Yavama. Answers the Gemara, Shani Hasam, Damakra V'locha Lali Isha. The Torah calls him a wife. Kivan shalacha nas ikishtel chaldava. She becomes his full-fledged wife, and the way her marriage is terminated is like the marriage of any husband and a wife through a get. Ask the Gemara Yehachi Yehachinami. Say the same thing regarding Eishes Achav Shlahayi Balamai. Say that she's a full-fledged wife of Shimon, and what happened previously between her and Reuven is no longer relevant. And Levi and Shimon did live in the world at the same time. Answers the Gemara, Kosev Rechman of Yibma. There's a pasuk that says, Adayin Yibumim Rishonim Aleha. So we have two conflicting psukim. One pasuk says, Adayin Yibumim Rishonim Aleha. There's vestiges of the original Yibum here. And there's another pasuk says, V'loch Halal Isha, that she's his wife. So we're applying Loch Lalisha to say that she's his full-fledged wife, and the only way the Yavam and Yavam's marriage is terminated is through a get. But Yivma teaches us Adayin Yivum HaRishonim Aleha, and that's why she retains the label of an Eishes Achiv Shlahayi Balamai. Ask the Gemara Omari Isa. Why are we explaining the Gemara in this way? Why are we explaining the Psukim this way, using the Pasuk of Yivma to continue calling her an Eishes Achiv Shlahayi Balamai, and using the pasuk V'loch Lalisha saying that she's the full-fledged wife of the Yavama? And as the Mefarshim explain, Eishes Achiv Shlahayi Balamai is really a contradiction to the entire concept of Yibam, because he's a brother, so he should do Yibam. So the Gemara's question is, explains the Mefarshim, Reb Shimon is right. We should perhaps limit the Isser of Eishes Achiv Shlahayi Balamai only to specific circumstances. Answers the Gemara, Mistabra Shadi Hatera Adatera V'Shadi Surah Yisurah. We have two psukim, as we said. One pasuk teaches us a heter, and one pasuk teaches us an Isser, a limitation. Eishes Achiv Shlahayi Balamai is an Isser, that we don't allow this woman to have Yibam. So we say that the Isser to be, we continue applying the pasuk of Yivma, which indicates Isser, even to circumstances where when Levi was born, she was already married to Shimon. On the other hand, in the case where a Yavam married a Yavama, and we apply the heter of Yibam, we continue applying the heter and treat this Yavam and Yavama as full-fledged husband and wife. Ask the Gemara, or Rav Shimon, according to Rav Shimon that articulated the Omer, Hoil Ubar Matzba Heter, he says that if Reuven's wife went to Shimon in Yibam, and then afterwards Levi was born, so when Levi came to the world, he found her as Shimon's wife, and that's why if Shimon should die without children, she is a candidate for Yibam or Chalitza to Levi. Why don't we, so since he articulates this Heter, Hoil Ubar Matzba Heter, V'loi Amda, and that's why we don't apply the concept of Eishes Ocher Shlaoye Balamai. Ask the Gemara Lama Ato, why don't we take this reasoning even further to a case of Achoisoy Mi'imai Shanasa Ochiv Mi'imai Mi'aviv. We have Yaakov was married to Leah and they had a son Reuven. Yocheved was married to Amram and they had a daughter Miriam. These two people, Reuven and Miriam, are certainly not related. And they get married. Leah died, Amram died, and now Yaakov and Yocheved get married, and they have a son, Shimon. Shimon is Reuven's full-fledged, Shimon has the same father as Reuven. Shimon has the same mother as Miriam. If Reuven, who's Miriam's husband, passes away, so we have a case of a brother from a father dying, which is the normal case, which is the general case of Yibam. Here we said that Yibam will not apply, because Miriam, who was Reuven's wife, is to Shimon a sister because they share a mother. But ask the Gemara, if Rav Shimon is applying the concept of Hoyel Umotzba Beheter, El Me'ato, Achoyse Me'imo Shinosa Ochim Me'aviv, Ve'achkach Noiler Ach, Shimon was born after Reuven and Miriam were married, and Mace, and then Reuven passed away without children, to Siabim. Miriam should have Yibum from Shimon. Hoyel Umotzba Beheter, when he came to the world, she was the wife of his paternal brother. Ask tomorrow, she's a sister. How do you want to suggest, ask the Gemara, that she should be a candidate for Yibum? Where did that Isser, that we know she's a sister, that one may not do Yibum with a sister go? Says the Gemara, oh, you want to say such a concept of Shimon? So why not say here too, Isser Achiv Shalai Hayyubah Lama Lahechen Azul? Reuven's widow is to Levi an Eishes Ach Shlahayah Balamai. The fact that she married Shimon doesn't change that. So how can you, Reb Shimon, ignore that fact? Ask the Gemara. Says the Gemara, we cannot compare these two types of Yisurim. Hi, the Isser of an Achoisai, of a maternal sister, is an Isser de Les Lehatera. There is no case in the Torah we ever find that a brother may marry his maternal sister, and therefore we can apply the concept that Isser can never go away. However, hi, the Isser of Eishes Ach is an Isser that goes away. That's what this whole Masecht is built on, that Eishes Ach is an Erva that could sometime be removed. It's Sur de Islay Ateira, and therefore we can apply a concept that the Isser of Eishes Ach Shlahay Balamai is no longer applicable. Continues the Mishnah. Klal Omru b'Yavama. We said regarding a Yavama. Kol she'isa erva. Any Yavama who's an erva, le'chaletzis v'le'mis yabemis, she's not a candidate for chalitza or yibam. And as we've learned from the first Mishnah of our Masechta, that not only is she not a candidate for yibam chalitza, but she also exempts hatzara. However, if this woman who falls to Yibam, to a Yavam, is an Issa Mitzvah or an Issa Kedusha, and we'll describe what that means in a moment in the Mishnah. Chaletzis v'loimus yabemis. She's the only candidate for chalitza and not yibam. Achoysoy shehi yivimta. Chaletzis v'loimus yabemis. We have a situation. There were two brothers who died without children. And the Reuven and Shimon died without children. And Reuven and Shimon were married to two sisters, Rachel and Leah. The two women are now waiting for Yibam to Levi. So as we've learned, under normal circumstances, Levi cannot do Yibam with either of them, because there's a situation of Achoysu Kukasai. Rachel is a sister to Leah. Leah is a sister to Rachel. Since there's Zika from both of them, he has Zika to both of them, we have a normal situation of Achoysu Kukasai. And under normal circumstances, Levi cannot do Yibam with either of them. However, let's say one of these two sisters is Erva to Levi. So now, this sister is not eligible for Yibam to Levi, and her other sister is eligible because she's no longer Achois Zekukasai, because the other sister is a relative to him, a relative to his wife, better said, is a relative to his wife, and therefore she's not a candidate. When do we apply, says the Mishnah, the concept of Achoysu Kukasai, is when both of them theoretically could have had Yibum to Levi. But if one of them is exempt anyway from having Yibum to Levi, so her other sister is not considered now Achoysu Kukasai, there is no Zika. She is not a candidate, and therefore the dinam of Achoysu Kukasai will not apply. The Mishnah now goes back to what it's mentioned a moment ago, Issa Mitzvah, Issa Kedusha. Issa Mitzvah, says the Mishnah, is called Shnius Medivrei Seifrim. There are various women who the Rabbanon declared to be Ervis. If such a woman falls to Yibam, so our Mishnah says that's an Issa Mitzvah. An Issa Kedusha is a situation like an Almana L'Kain Gadol, where a Kain Gadol is now marry an Almana. If one Kain Gadol's brother, who's a regular Kain, was married to Almana, he's allowed to. This woman now falls to the Kain Gadol. That's a situation of Issa Kedusha. Or, another situation is Grusha v'chalutz l'Kain Hedjet. There was one Kain married to a Grusha. He passed away. Any Kain may not marry a Grusha. So now this Kain is in a situation that he can't do Yibam with his sister-in-law. She's not allowed to live with him because she's a Grusha v'chalutz l'Kain Hedjet. Or a Mamseris v'nesin al Yisrael. A Yisrael is now Rashi says, how could a Kayin have a brother who married a Grusha? If he's a Kayin, his paternal brother must also be a Kayin. How could if his paternal brother married a Grusha? So Rashi says, the situation is where the brother married a Grusha he shouldn't have, because the Kayin's not allowed to marry, but since the Kedushin is typhus, that's the situation that we're referring to. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. Other Rishonim explained the Gemara that one brother, the brother who passed away was a Cholol. A Kohen who's a Cholol may marry a Grusha, and now he passes away, and his paternal brother, who's not a Cholol, is not allowed to marry this woman. Or another situation is a Mamzeris from the Sinai of Yisrael. A Yisrael is not allowed to marry a Mamzeris. If one brother who was allowed to, or the Isser married a Mamzeris, or married a Nesina, those are women who are Usser, who fooled Yeshua. They were the Gevinim, they fooled Yeshua that they wanted to become Gerim, and Yeshua declared that they may not get married to Klal Yisrael. Or if it's vice versa, Bas Yisrael getting married to a Nosan or Mamzer, her brother-in-law is a Nosan or Mamzer, which she's not supposed to marry such a person. It's Machloikis Rishonim. If a Nosan, A mamzer is certainly not a regular Yisrael or regular Yisraelis is not allowed to marry a mamzer or a mamzeris. Machloikus Rishonim, if the issa to marry a nesina is an issa d'oraisa or an issa d'rabbonim. There's an interesting machloikus Rishonim. We've just identified an issa mitzvah is a woman who's a shnias medivrei seifrim, a woman who's an erva only medirabbonim. As we said when we began learning the Mishnah, and actually we said it when we began learning the Masechta, the halacha is that a erva, if one of the wives that falls to yibum is an erva, she also exempts her tzara. Machlokes Rishonim, if Isser Shnia also has that same din that she exempts her tzara. Some Rishonim say that she does, and that's the Shita, that she does not, and the Meiri says that she does. The way most Mefarshim explain this Machlokes Rishonim is how do we view what Chazal accomplished when they made a woman into a Shnia? Do we view it that Chazal call her an erva? If Chazal call her an erva, as we've been learning from the beginning of Masechta, a tzaras erva is also exempt from yibam. Or do we look at the Gzeres Chazal? Not that Chazal identified her as an erva, but rather Chazal made a new din that a person's not supposed to marry this woman, but not to go as far as to call her mamish an erva. That's how most Mefarshim explain the Machlokes Rishonim. Reb Shmuel Rozovsky has a different approach. He says certainly what Chazal accomplished when they call her a Shnia is that they made her Erva. That's what Shnias are all about. The Ervis Midrabonim. The question is, even though we learned that a Tzaris Erva is also exempt from Yivam Mechalitza, what level of erva has that ability to exempt Hatzara? The Rashba says it only has to be a strong erva. A erva midrabanon isn't strong enough of an erva to exempt Hatzara. The Meiri, on the other hand, explains Rav Shmuel Rozovsky, holds if she has the title, if she has the label of being an erva, it makes no difference that she's only an erva midrabanan. An erva exempts hatzara. So the Mishnah began with the words klal. And as the Tosfos Yontif already explains in the Mishnah, why does the Mishnah need to add this word of klal that will come to teach us a rule? It says the Gemara, lasuya mai, amra papa lasuya tzaras islandus. As we've learned, that an islandus, if one's brother was married to a woman who's an islandess, she's unable to have children, she is exempt from Yibam Mechalitza. And what Asi holds is that not only is she exempt, but she also exempts Hatzara. And that's what the Gemara is coming to teach us. That's what the Mishnah is coming to teach us, that an islandess and Hatzara are exempt from Yibam and Chalitza. Vigadamri, kol shisura issa erva. If the reason why a woman is exempt from Yibam Mechalitza is because she's an erva, that's when Huda Asira Tzarasa, does she also exempt her co-wife? Hola Yisura is erva. But if a woman is exempt, not because she's an erva, an islandess is not an erva. An islandess is a person who unfortunately can't have children. But that's not called an Issa erva. Tzarasa la Yisira. She doesn't exempt her tzara from Yibam Mechalitza. Lemutei mai, and the Mishnah when it uses the word klal, even though usually klal comes to add, here as the Tosfos Yontif taught us, the word klal really doesn't belong here. Here it's going to be teaching us a miyut, to exclude something. Amar Afram, lemutei tzaras islandus, to teach us that the tzar of islandus is not exempt from Yibam Mechalitza, the like Rav Asi, the opposite of what Rav Asi says. Achoysa sheyevimta. So we learned, if a sister is also, if two sisters are co-yuvamis, so we learned in the Mishnah, she either, the one sister who's not related to Levi, is taken in Yibam Mechalitza. Ask the Gemara, Achoysa the man, exactly who is the Mishnah referring to when it says Achoysa? Aleim, that is a mitzvah, if you're going to say it's talking about the sister of someone who's only Osir Midrabonan, let's understand. Kivan de Maraisa Rami Kamei. Midaraisa, we have these two sisters. One sister, Levi, cannot do Yibam too, because she's Osir Midrabonan. And the other sister, she's an Ever Midrabonan. The other sister is fine. Since Midaraisa, even the woman who he's not allowed to have Yibam with, is only Midrabonan, not Midaraisa. So, really, Midaraisa, she has the sister who's a Shnia, is really a Zukuka to Levi. So then how could Levi do Yibam with the other sister? Midaraisa, she's an Achoysa Kukosoi. The Rabbanan can only make Chumras. They can't make a Kula. By calling her an Erva, you can't use it to teach us that she's not a Chos Zukukosoi. And says the Gemara, what the Mishnah was referring to, and that's how we explained the Mishnah, it was a Chosoi Disa Erva. One sister was a full-fledged Issa Daraisa to Levi. So she is not a Zukuka to him at all. Therefore, her sister is not called an Chos Zukukosoi, and therefore she can have Yibam from Levi. Issa mitzvah, we explained in the Mishnah, was called Shnius. Why are Shnius called Issa mitzvah? Amai korele Issa mitzvah? It says the Gemara, Amar Abaya, because mitzvah l'shmaya divrei chachamim. There's a mitzvah to follow what the chachamim say, and that's why they're called Issa mitzvah. Issa kedusha, what is an example of an Issa kedusha? Aman el kain gadol. Or grusha v'chalutzal kain hedjet. Ask the Gemara about my korelehu issa kedusha. Why are these people called issa kedusha? The ksiv, because the pasuk says regarding the kohanim, kedoshim yil alakehem. So the Torah uses the word kedusha regarding kohanim. Says the Gemara Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda machlif. Rabbi Yehuda reversed the definitions. He said issa mitzvah is a manal kain gadol, grusha v'chalutzal kain hedjet. That my korele mitzvah, why they called issa mitzvah, the ksiv, the pasuk regarding when it tells us who a kohen may and may not do, uses the word elah mitzvahs, and issa kedusha refers to shnius medivrei seifrim. Ask the Gemara for my korele issa kedusha, why is somebody who is osir midrabanan called issa kedusha? Says the Gemara, Amar Abaya, because kol makayim divrei chachamim, whoever follows what Chazal told us to do, Nikra Kodesh. And as the Mefarshim explained, the point of following what the Rabbanan say is by following what the Rabbanan say, we ultimately will follow what the Torah tells us. And a person who follows what the Torah says is Kodesh. Le Rava asks Rava to Abaya, if we're saying that somebody is Mekayim what Chazal say, he's called a Kaddish. So what can we infer? The Kol She'ena Mekayim Divrei Chachamim, if somebody doesn't follow what Chazal said, Kaddish would loy Mikra, he's not called Kaddish, but Rasha Nami Lekari, he's not called a Rasha, he's a Rasha! From here it means, okay, he didn't follow what the Chacham said, so I'm not going to call him Kaddish. He's a lot worse than not being called Kaddish. He's a Rasha! El Amar Rava. So Rava says, why are what Chazal say, if following Chazal is called a Kaddish? Because Kaddish Atzmecha B'Mutalach. Midaraisa, this is Mutar. It's the Chacham that said that it's Osir. Somebody who follows that is called a Kaddish. Kaddish Atzmecha B'Mutalach. You're supposed to make yourself Kaddish when in something that even that's called a Kaddish. Somebody who does something that the Torah does not necessarily require him to do. Even though from the Gemara it seems that if somebody doesn't do what the Chacham say, he can be called a Rasha, the Chavos Yor says that a person can only be called a Rasha. It's not, we should not be quick in labeling someone a Rasha, Chas V'Shalom. He says we can only call him a Rasha if he knew what he's doing is Osir, and he continues doing that Avera. Otherwise, he would not be considered a Rasha. There's a beautiful pshat from the Vishnu Tzerebbe, Kaddish Atzmecha B'Mutalach. he says the Gemara doesn't have nekudas. So he says Wakadish Atzmecha b'mutalok should be pronounced b'moiser. We know we say in Kabbonis moiser ha'odam min ha'behema. What's the difference between a person and an animal? The difference is that a person has the ability to speak. Kadish Atzmecha, where does a person become kadosh? B'moiser. And what differentiates him from an animal? In his speech. That's how a person becomes kadosh. Other Mefarshim explain, Kadish Atzmecha b'moiser means regarding the moisris. A person, how does a person come to the status of kadosh? Where he's careful b'moiser not to overindulge. For as the Mefarshim explain, if a person gets into the habit of overindulging, then he will not be able to restrain himself and stop doing even the averis that the Torah clearly tells us one may not do. There's a beautiful pshat that I saw from the Tzlach in this concept of Kadosh Atzmecha b'mutalecha. He says that we're saying that it refers to being Mekayim Divrei Chachamim. We know when we make Kiddush Friday night or on Yom Tov, we make two brachas. We make a Bari Pri Hagafen, and we also make a bracha Mekadosh HaShabbos, Mekadosh Yisrael V'Azmanim. And it's a shaila which bracha should be made first. One is the bracha, should the bracha Bari Pri Hagafen be made first because it's a tadir, it's constantly made, or should the bracha of Kiddush be made first because it's Kadosh, it refers to the Kedushas Hayoim, Mekadosh HaShabbos, Mekadosh Yisrael V'Azmanim. So the question is, what this question, do we say that Tadr comes first, or do we say that Kadosh comes first, is actually a shaila that the Gemara never answers. So why are we so quick ask the Tzlach to go with the Tadr, not with the Kadosh? Answers the Tzlach that we know that the concept of having to have to make Kiddush is Midrabanan. If the concept is only Midrabanan, even the Bari Pri Hagafen that we're making is because Rabbanan told us to make the Bari Pri Hagafen. Kol Mekayim Divrei Chachamim Nikra Kadosh. So in the Bari Pri Hagafen there are two parts. There's a Tadir and there's Kadosh, because the person is making the Kiddush because he's doing what Chazal told him. So certainly the Bari Pri Hagafen comes before the Mekadosh HaShabbos or the Mekadosh Yisrael V'Azmanim. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz explains this concept of Kadosh Atzmecha B'Mutalach, that's the point of all the Rabbanans. He says, we send children to yeshiva, or we send people to school to learn a trade. The purpose of that training is not just for the moment that they're in school. The purpose is that it should have an everlasting effect when they leave the yeshiva and when they leave the school. Kadosh Atzmecha B'Mutalach, what the Gemara is teaching us, says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, is that when a person follows what the Rabbanan told us, is Kadosh Atzmecha, that Kedusha should remain B'Mutalacha in all of your activities. The Kedusha of following the Divrei Rabbanan should stay with us. So the Mishnah said, an almana l'kain gadol is an example of a person where yibum cannot take place. Kaposik v'tani, says the Gemara, if an almana falls to a kain gadol for yibum, our Mishnah taught us she cannot have yibum. And our Mishnah didn't differentiate. Loishnam and nesuin, it makes no difference if there was nesuin between this, if she fell from a state of nesuin, or loishnam and erisin, or she fell from a state of erisin. Ask the Gemara, bishlam and nesuin, we can understand if a woman who was in a suah falls to a kain gadol, she's an almanim and a nesuin, because there's an essay v'loisasei. There's an essay that a kain gadol v'ish v'psula yikach, he has to take a psula. There's a loisasei that he is not allowed to marry an almanah. So since there's an essay and a loisasei, ein essay doicha loisasei v'essay. So the essay of yibum does not have the ability to be doicha the loisasei and essay that a kain has for marrying an almana min a nesuin. However, as the Gemara, ela min a erisin, if this woman is an almana from the erisin, so loisasa greiduhu, so she could still be a psula, because she never consummated her marriage. So there's only a lice essay. So yave essay, let the essay of Yibum, the Yitcha lice essay, be doicha the lice essay of Almana, that a kind God is now will marry an Almana. Answers the Gemara. Amar of Gidl Amakra, also Yevimtai Hasha'ara. She'ain't Tamalaymi Yevimtai. The Pasuk should not have to say the word Yevimtai. The Pasuk before already identified that we're referring to Yevama. Ma Tamalaymi Yevimtai. Why does the Torah use the words Yevimta? To teach us, Yesh Lecha Yevama Achas, there is a situation of Yevama, She'oila Lechalitza, that is a candidate for Chalitza, Ve'ena Oila Liyibam, but not a candidate for Yibam. Ve'ezu, who is that? Suchai v'lavin. This situation, an Amala Kain Godel, who does a chiv lav for the Kain Godel to marry her, the Torah tells us that she's only a candidate for Chalitza and not for Yibam. Ask the Mefarshim that when Chalitza takes place, there's a Nusach that said, that the Nusach says that Me'ein Yivami, that the woman says that this man refused to take me in Yibam. But that's not, how could Chalitza be done in this situation? It was saying that the Torah is telling us that this woman can only have Chalitza, not Yibam. So it's not true if she would say that he refused to take me in Yibam. So some of us say from here we see that saying that Nusach, and we'll discuss it Mitzvah later in the Masechta, is not crucial to the accomplishing of a Mitzvah Chalitza. Others explain that there are two dinim of Chalitza. A normal Chalitza is the Chalitza that we've encountered. A woman who could have had Yibam or could have had Chalitza, and they did Chalitza, not Yibam. There, that Nusach is said. This Chalitza that the Torah is introducing for a Manal Kain Godel, where the woman is a Chayvi Lav to the Yavam, is a new type of Chalitza. Not that the Chalitza that we've been learning about till now, and that Chalitza doesn't require anything said, and that Chalitza is not at all connected to Yibam. Ask the Gemara if we're saying that there's a new situation where a woman is only a candidate for Chalitza and not a candidate for Yibam, and we're saying who's that woman? A Chayv Elavin, maybe even a Chayv Krisis, should also be, if there's a Chiv Karis between the Yavam and the Yavama, she should still be a candidate for Chalitza, not Yibam. Omakra, V'lam Yachboi Tz'ish L'kachas, Pachofetz Miyabim. The Torah is teaching us that Kala Oilu L'Yibam, Oilu Chalitza, that Yibam and Chalitza travel together. And if Yibam is not possible, because she's a Chiv Karis, Kala She'ena L'Yibam, and Oilu Chalitza. And therefore, she's not a candidate for Chalitza also. Ask the Gemara, let's go back. A Chayv Elavin is also not a candidate for Yibam. They're not allowed to live with each other. Answers the Gemara. But we just learned, Harabi Rachmana Yevimtoi, that this woman, even though she's not a candidate for Yibam, is a candidate for Chalitza. Ask the Gemara Maris. We have two psukim here. One pasuk is including that a certain woman is included in the Chiv Chalitza. Another pasuk is excluding that she's excluded from the Chiv Chalitza. Why am I saying that the Chiv Chalitza applies to the Chiv Elavin and the exclusion of even Chalitza applies to the Chayv Krisis? Answers the Gemara. Mestabra. That's what makes sense to say. Chayv Elavin. Tafsiba Kedushin. A Chayv Elavin, since Kedushin is Typhus, so at least Chalitza should be done. Chayv Krisis, which is a higher level, the like Tafsiba Kedushin, even Chalitza doesn't have to be done. Masav Rava, ask Rava, it says in our Mishnah, Issa Mitzvah, or Issa Kedusha, the following Brisa says, Issa Mitzvah and Issa Kedusha, who we discussed in our Mishnah in the Gemara on Amin Aleph. If the Yavim did have relations with her or did chalitza with her, nifter tsarasa, her tsara is also released from the zika. Ask the Gemara, isal kedaitach. If we're going to say chayv lavin, a woman who's a chayv lav, the medari reisel chalitza ramya, she's only obligated to have chalitza. Liyibam lay ramya, she's not obligated to have yibam. Kibal leha. So why, if he has relations with one of them, nifta tsarasa, should not be considered a yibum, because the only requirement the Torah says here is chalitza. So when does yibum exempt the other wife? When yibum is an option, But if Yibam here is not an option, so why is it exempt a co-wife? Answers the Gemara, who maisalav who mitzarfla. He asked the question, he answers it. Let's start in Ketani. The way to understand this Mishnah is as follows. If the Yavam had relations with her, is referring to a woman who's also midrabanim. So midrabanim, she's a candidate for Yibam. Midrais, I mean, she's a candidate for Yibam. It's only midrabanim. So that Yibam is a real Yibam, and that's why it exempts a co-wife. Cholotzlo, Issa Kedusha. Correct, on Issa Kedusha, which we have been identifying as a Chiv Laf. So she's not a candidate for Yibam. There the Braisa will not suggest, as the Gemara is teaching us, that the co-wife should be exempt, because she's not a candidate for Yibam. And since she's not a candidate for Yibam, her co-wife is not exempt with that Yibam that doesn't really have any place midaraisa. Ask the Noida Behuda, if we're referring to a situation that this man had two wives, one wife is an Issa Mitzvah, an Issa Kedusha, and the other wife is totally not related to him. So, as we've learned, the why is Chalitza or Yibam done? Because we have a concept of Esed Daichalaisa say. Esed Daichalaisa say we only use when we have no other choice, asked the Noida Behuda. But here we have two wives. One wife is a relative, and one wife is not a relative, so why come on to Esed Daichalaisa say? Just do Yibam Chalitza where the wife is not a relative. So Noida Behuda answers, if we're going to say that the woman who's a Chayv Lavin is not a candidate for Yibam, when Yibam is done with one wife, she's a shliach of both wives. You can't be a shliach to do something that the other person can't do. So if Yibam would not be an option here, it would not even be an option for the wife who's not related. Another teretz that's given by the Oneg Yontif, which he gives a fundamental understanding of the whole concept of Esed Eichelaisa say. Esed Eichelaisa say that we're saying that if you don't have to do it, we don't have to come on to being Daicha, don't do it, is only said, says the Oneg Yontif, where a person had a choice. He had a choice to do it with Esed Eichelaisa say, or he didn't have to. So of course, don't come on to Esed Eichelaisa say. However, if there are two women, one wife, they both want the mitzvah. So I should tell, one wife should tell the other wife, I have to do Esed Daichalaisa say. You don't have to do Esed Daichalaisa say. So have Yibam done with you. But she wants the mitzvah. That's not a situation that we could avoid Esed Daichalaisa say. Another teretz given by the Avni Nezer, the Stipler, they explain that there are two wives here. As we've been learning, even though it's not clear under all circumstances, Yibam is preferable to Chalitza. The brother-in-law wants to live with the wife who's a relative to his. So we can't say, well, so do Chalitza with her, or do Yibam with the other wife. He wants to do Yibam, which is the bigger mitzvah, but he only wants to live with this woman and not the other woman. That's why this is not a situation where there are options that we should not apply Esed Eichelaisa say. Masav Rava asks Rava, Ptsua Daka v'kris Shivcha. These are people who are diseased, who are sterile. The Torah says that anyone who is diseased in such a fashion, was made sterile, is also to get married. This Isser is only if he got sick by an act of man. If he was born that way, he has a congenital disease, he's not considered Ptsua Daka v'kris Shivcha. Sris Adam, similarly if somebody was emasculated by an act of man. V'zokin, or somebody who's an older person, and like all the Rishonim explained, a zokin is certainly not in the same category of Ptsua Daka v'kris Shivcha. Oy Chaltzin Oy Miyadmin. If a Yavama falls to them, they could either do Chalitza or Yibam. Ketzad. So the Bryce explains itself. Mesu. If such a man was married to a woman, and he dies without children, V'lohem Achim, and he has surviving brothers, V'lohem Noshim, and the people who died had wives, V'amdu Achim V'osam Maimim Nishasayim, and a brother came and did Maimer with the wife of the person that died, V'nasnu Get, or they gave Get, which, as we're going to learn later in the Masecht, even though with the rice it's meaningless, once a get is given, this woman is no longer a candidate for Yibam. For Chalzo, they pried, did Chalitza, Masha Asu, what they did is halachically valid. Vimbalu, if they do Yibam, Kanu. And Tosfos points out, even though the Lashon of the Gemara is if it's b'dievid in Balu, it really means that this is 100% fine. We have a situation, a brother died without children, and the other brothers do Yibam. Meisu Achim, if the brothers of these sterile men died without children, so now their widows fell to a person who's sterile for Yibam, from the Haim, Vosamayim and Shesayim, and they did Maimer with their brothers' wives. Nas negeta shachalzu, they gave a get or did chalitza, masha asu, vimbalu, if they do bia, kanu. However, v'asu lekaimam, they should not remain married, because it's a chiv lav, because the Torah says, lo yova b'tzu adaka. Ask the Gemara, isal gadaitach. If we're going to say that chai v'lavi, midaraisa lechalitza ramya, leave him lo yama, if the relationship here is a relationship of chiv lav, then there's only chalitza as an option, not yibum. So then the question is a bala maikonu. This man is a tzuadaka. There's a chiv lav for him to have relations with a woman. It was saying that whatever is a chiv lav, there is no mitzvah yibum. So why in balu kanu? Why is that yibum effective? El Amar Rava, says Rava, the reason why an almana l'kain gadol, even if she's an almana min erisin, is not a candidate for Yibum, because there's an essay lois essay. Every almana l'kain gadol, there's an essay involved, even if she's only min erisin, t'ksev kadoshim yil l'kayem, that the kohanim are kadosh, says the so therefore, an almana even min erisin cannot be a candidate for Yibum, because an essay of Yibum, doich alois essay of not taking an almana, and the essay of Kadosh Miyul Okeyem. Ask the Gemara Mazaris, Benesina Mayikul Meima. These women are only usher with a lav. So why don't we say that Yibum, the essay of Yibum, is doich the lav of Mamzeris? Says the Gemara, by every woman, by them too, there's an essay of its Kadishtim. Ask the Gemara if we're going to follow that line of reasoning. The Torah, every mitzvah in the Torah carries with that essay, the ksiv is kadishtim. What must we say? That kadishtim cannot be applied to any specific situation. So if it can't be applied to any specific situation, we're back to where we started. Why a manal kain gadol min erisin does not fall for Yibam? El Amarava. Gzeir almanim in erisin. Chazal made gzeir by almanim in erisin. Ota almanim in nesuin. An almanim in nesuin, we explain successfully in Amun Aleph, is not a candidate for Yibum. Could there's a loisa say vasei? Ain't as a doich loisa say vasei. So almanim in nesuin. So we made a gzeir by almanim in erisin also. Says the Gemara. Gzeir minzeris in the sinema eklamema. There is no such a line of reasoning. Answers the Gemara, Gzeir b'mak mitzvah. Chazal did not allow Yibim to be done with a Mamzeris and a Sina, Otan Shlom b'mak mitzvah, because if we're going to allow Yibim to be done with a Mamzeris, people may even come to marry Mamzeris, even not in a situation of Yibim. Elame ato, Eshes ochem mi oviv loytis yabim. Yibim should not take place between paternal brothers. Gzeir mishem eshes ochem mi imay. And as Tosfos says, some Rishonim explain that what the Gemara is saying is, if we're going to take this line of reasoning, let's make a gzeira that there should not be a din of Yibam at all. Most Rishonim disagree with that. That's not where the Gemara is going. And they rather explain what the Gemara's question is. Tosfos explains this way. Let's limit the din of Yibam to only a brother, who's a brother both from a father and a mother, that we shouldn't come to make a mistake. Answers the Gemara, Yibam Menachla Tala Rechmona. Since we know that Yibam depends with Yerusha, so it completely goes with paternal brothers, made the idea there's no reason to make such a gzeira. Ask the Gemara, Ishish Ein Leibonim Loitus Yabim. A woman who has no children should not be a candidate for Yibum, Kseir Mishum Ishish Yesh Leibonim. And again, according to Tosfos line of reasoning, the Gemara is not suggesting that we eliminate Yibum. The Gemara is saying is that if a woman once had children, even though at the time of the death of her husband, she doesn't have children, and therefore she's a candidate for Yibum, let's make a Kseir that she should not go to Yibum, because we could confuse her with a woman who had children, and those children, Baruch Hashem, remained alive when the husband died. Says the Gemara, everybody knows the Bebonim Talon Rachmana, the Yibum depends on children, made the idea, and we look if there were or there weren't children at the time of death. Ask the Gemara, Eishes Achiv Shahayu Balama like the Siyabim, a woman was an Eishes Achiv that the brothers lived at the same time, should not be a candidate for Yibum. And again, Tosfos with his line of reasoning saying that if there's a brother who's Shlohai Balamai, it should cause the wife, even the brother's widow, should not be a candidate for Yibum to any brother, because we may get confused. Says the Gemara again, since the Pasuk says, Ki Yesh V'yach Alchem Yachad, Bi Yeshiva Tali Rachmana, and made the Yediyah. Ask the Gemara, Kolam Noshim Laitas Yavna. Whenever a woman dies, whenever a husband dies without children, we should not allow her to have Yibum, Gzer Mishum Islandess. We should be concerned that maybe she's an islandess. And an islandess, as we learned on Amun Aleph, is not a candidate for Yibum. Says the Gemara, Le Shchicha. Islandess is not Shchiach, and therefore we don't make a Gzer for such a situation. Says the Gemara, if we're going to take that reasoning, Mamzeres v'nesina nami l'shchicha, that Baruch Hashem not allowed a Mamzerim. So why do we make a Gzeir by Mamzeres? Ela Merava, Gzeir, the reason why we do not allow Yibum by a Mamzeres v'nesina, truthfully, Yibum would be allowed. But the reason Chazal said it should not take place, because the Bia Rishayna is a mitzvah, but the Bia Shniya is already no longer permitted, and Gzeir Bia Rishayna ought to be a Shniya. Tanya Nami Hacha, and Balu Kana Bibi Rishayna, which is the mitzvah, Vasla Kaiman Bibi Shniya. Hadama Rava, Vitame Ravashi, then Rava said in the name of Ashi, or some say Ravashi said, La Mel Seid Amri. What I said is not correct. Domre Shlokash, Kamakam Shetam Maitzim, Esse Velaisa say. Whenever you counter a mitzvah say and a mitzvah Velaisa say, Imata Yachal Kaiman Shneim Mutab, if you could do both, great. Vim lav, yova essay, via hetcha loyas essay. The essay should be doicha loyas essay. Hachinami, so in the case, if a woman is not allowed to be married to the yovam with a lav, she's a mamzeris. We have the option of chalitza, the mekayim essay, we mekayim the mitzvah, and the loyas essay, we're not going to go over the loyas essay, we're not going to violate the loyas essay because he's not living with her. So therefore, he says that even Medaraisa, a Chai V'Lavin is not a candidate for Yibum. Meisvei asked the Gemara, a Braisa that we just learned, from Baalu Kanu, that we saw that by the Petsua Daka, where there's a Chai V'Lavin, Yibum is B'di'evid acceptable. I, according to what you just said, if there's a Chai V'Lavin, only Chalitza is an option, not Yibum. Says the Gemara, Tiyufta, this is a refutation of Rava's retraction, and the reason why a Mamzeris v'Nesina Yibum should not be done is, as Rava said a moment ago, Gzeir Bir Rishayna Ota Bir Shniyah.